consider the goodness and the severity of God. Let us hear Romans chapter 11 again, and especially verse 20 through 22. Let us hear that passage.
Well, because of unbelief, they were broken off, and thou standest by faith. Be not high-minded, but fear. For if God spared not the natural branches, take heed, lest also spare not thee.
Norman, the inspired Apostle Paul is using, you want to call it a metaphor, an allegory, you are correct. Because what he's doing is using one type of image to bring across certain truth to his audience. So in a nutshell, he is likening the Gentiles and the Jews and even Jesus Christ as a plant, a tree. The root and the main stump is Jesus Christ. The original branch is the Israelite. The branch that was grafted in are the Gentiles. Now, he's reminding the Gentiles that if the Almighty God could cut off the original branches, referring to the Israelite who didn't believe, because he said, because of unbelief, they were cut off. He's saying to the Gentile, be careful. The natural branches were cut off. What will God do then to the branch that is not natural? He will do the same thing. So pick up where you left off, dear brother Vivian.
Because of unbelief, they were broken off.
Mm-hmm.
And thou standest by faith. Be not high-minded, but fear. For if God spared not the natural branches, take heed, lest he also spare not thee.
That's right. Okay. This lesson was preached. In fact, this was one of the subjects given to me when I did a gospel meeting about 2 years ago in Mile Gully. Consider the goodness and the severity of God. Get this, in our present religious environment, and I don't mean just now, for quite a long time now, and I'm not talking just about Jamaica, wherever you find men and women who claim they believe in God, we swing toward believing and accepting that God is just love and mercy and grace. That's the tendency. You know why? Because that suits us. We want to think that all there is about God is God's goodness. All there is about God is God's love. All there is about God is God's mercy. Not long ago, I was listening to the radio, and there was a discussion. I have related it to you all already, where it seems some preacher was talking about hell and hellfire. And literally all the person who comes and participate in that discussion They were resorting to the fact that God is love. And they were saying that this person seems to forget that God is love. Brothers and sisters, God is in fact love.
That's right.
But God is more than that.
That's right.
God is holiness. That implies justice.
That's right.
That justice implies judgment.
Right.
In fact, let us use the word. In fact, notice what verse you have just read, brother, 21.
Yes.
Read it again.
For if God spared not the natural branches, take heed, lest he also spare not thee.
Read on.
Behold, therefore, goodness and severity of God.
Read that again.
Behold, therefore, the goodness
what
and severity of God.
What is appealing to the Roman Christian is you must keep your eyes on both the goodness of God, but don't stop there. But the severity of God. The world in which we live, people are quick to tell you. That's why a lot of people are not running to become Christian. Because they have here that all there is to God is love and mercy. And that's why many men and women are waiting for their conversion. There is no such thing. What do you mean, Mr. Mitchell? There are certain things about conversion that cannot be done in your deathbed. There are certain things that we as sinners must do that must be done while we can move about. That's right. Why many men and women is hoping that at the last moment, just before the last breath, they can say, Lord have mercy. Jesus Christ corrected that long ago, but you are not listening to him. Not everyone that saith,
Lord, Lord,
Lord, Lord, shall be saved, but he who does my will.
Right.
So what I'm saying, in fact, as I've said, we hear a lot about God's love, God's goodness, God's mercy, God's grace, but very little, if any, about God's holiness, God's judgment, God's wrath, God's justice. We are thankful. Thank God for his love, his grace, his mercy, his graciousness. But when God's grace and mercy is taken for granted, are we all there? When we do not respond to God's grace and mercy in Christ, it is the holiness, it is the justice, it is the judgment, it is the wrath, our severity of God that we will have to deal with. You know, Moses made a request of God. Quite interesting. Because that itself, that context, I want to share a lesson one day on that context. When Moses was getting acquainted with God, he had just crossed the Red Sea and reach the mountain where he's going to be given the Ten Commandments. And Moses felt that this God in whom he believed, he needed to know more about God. And Moses was right. And Moses asked God, he said, God, show me your glory. What does that mean? The word glory, when used referring to God, one of the meaning you can give to it is characteristics. The glory of God, the characteristic of God, that which characterizes God, that which personifies God. So Moses, in Exodus chapter 33, let me hear it, chapter 33, and I believe verse 18 through 19. Let us hear it.
And he said,
mm-hmm.
I beseech thee,
mm-hmm.
show me thy glory.
That's right. Moses said, I beg you, show me your glory. I am ignorant of you. That's right. Show me who you are. I need to know you better. We need to know God better.
Amen.
Now read on, brother.
And he said,
mm-hmm.
I will make all my goodness pass before thee.
Watch, God is responding. I will make all my goodness pass before you.
And I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee.
Wait, it's important that we get what this means. I will proclaim the name of the
Lord.
That should all, the letters should be capital.
That's right.
You know why? Wherever you read your Bible, especially the King James, and especially the Old Testament, and notice that all the letters are capitalized, it is the word, Jehovah. Wherever you see Lord and all the letters spelling it is capitalized, it is in fact the word Jehovah. So read that little part again where God says, I will.
And I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee.
That means I am going to explain the meaning and the interpretation of this name. You see, God is saying to Moses, because within this name, Jehovah, there is multiplicity of God's characteristic. But watch here. God is not going to answer Moses' request here in chapter 33. It will not be until we reach chapter 34 and verse 5 following that God is going to now answer Moses' request. So let us hear chapter 34 and verse 5 through verse 8.
And the Lord descended in the cloud,
mm-hmm.
and stood with him there,
mm-hmm.
and proclaimed the name of the Lord.
Now proclaim or explain the name Jehovah. God going to now open Moses' eyes to what this name implies, at least some of what it implies. God, watch here. In fact, read before I say some more, brother. God is about now. Remember, brothers and sisters, Moses had in chapter 33 asked the Almighty God, made a request to God for God to reveal, show Moses his glory. Moses wanted to know more about God. And we too should want to know more about God, to understand God better. God says, I will do that. But the Almighty God did not do that right away. And I may just drop this point to even at the point when God going to declare his name, the Almighty God is not going to reveal all there is to be known about God. But God going to reveal enough. God going to reveal the essential. Wait, Brother Mitchell, I thought you were preaching on the goodness and the severity of God. Yes, I'm right there, still right there. Just follow me. Now, you're at chapter 34, brother, and you're at verse 5. Verse 6 now.
And the Lord passed before him.
And the Lord passed before him.
And proclaimed, the Lord God.
Wait, you proclaim. You can almost drop the word explain. You see, God is opening Moses' eye. God is going to show Moses some more about the personality, the characteristic of God. And there's so much here. God is proclaiming, explaining, interpreting the name of the Lord, the name Jehovah. Now, God, open our eyes too, because you opened Moses' eye. Let us know more about you. Read, brother.
Merciful and gracious.
Wait. The Almighty God is showing some of the multiple meaning and implication in the word Jehovah. That's right. I am merciful and gracious. Watch here. You know, it's interesting. I find it interesting. What you're going to notice here, because the brother going to read verse 5, 6, and I think 7. And what you're going to notice here, are you noticing? You're not noticing. Thank you. One is noticing. Is this, that most of what going to be revealed or spoken about here by God is God's, watch you, God's mercy, God's grace, God's goodness. But there's something else there that's going to be dropped in that is important. And that will bring us back to our lesson if you feel that we're away from the lesson. Merciful.
And gracious.
Gracious.
Long-suffering.
I suffer long with sinners.
And abundant in goodness and truth.
I show goodness, enough goodness and truth to my people. Read on.
Keeping mercy for thousands.
I keep mercy for thousands. Wait, don't move, brother. You notice that all that is coming out is the gracious side of God. Read on.
Forgiving iniquity.
I forgive iniquity.
And transgressions and sin.
I forgive transgression.
And sin.
I forgive sin. But somebody said, Brother Mitchell, that's right down my street. That's why you see me depend so much on the mercy of God. That's why you see I'm not going to become a Christian until when me live in sin all my life and practice all the ungodliness. And just when I'm going to die, when the doctor tell me that I have a few days, because God is good and God is merciful and God is love, I will say, God, have mercy on me.
That's right.
Read on, brother.
And that will by no means clear the guilty.
Wait. Take time with me. God said, after explaining that he's good, he's merciful, he's forgiving, he's gracious, lest Moses and the Israelites left with the wrong idea about God, lest they had a one-sided view of God as men today have, God at the end of it had to slip this in to say, why you keep in mind my goodness, my mercy, my grace?
That's right.
It's important that you do not forget this. The brother is at verse 7 now. Read 7 again.
And that will by no means clear
by
the guilty.
No means clear the guilty. That's the severity of God.
That's right.
That's the wrath of God. I will by no means clear the guilty. The man who has not turned to God, to Jesus Christ, for forgiveness, meeting Jesus' term and condition, there is no way simply calling upon God you are going to be forgiven.
That's right.
Read the rest of that verse, brother.
Visiting the iniquity of the fathers.
I'll visit the iniquity, that is the sin of the
fathers.
Of the fathers.
Upon the children.
Upon the children.
And upon the children's children.
And upon the children's children.
Unto the third.
Unto the third.
And to the fourth generation.
And unto the fourth generation. And you may be there saying, Brother Mitchell, what does that mean? Does that mean that I am suffering from my father's sin? No, remind me one after time to have a discussion on that. In fact, let me drop you. You are responsible for your sin.
That's right, that's right.
Not your parents' sin. Now, a lot of times, we may suffer from the consequences
that's right.
of our parents' wrongdoing. You live in a community where your father just do a lot of wrong to people. A lot of times, every time certain people see you and say, Sammy Mitchell's son, that you know. that's right. That's consequences. But the sin, God does not take our parents in and throw it over on us. I just dropped that alarm because, as I said, I plan to preach a lesson on this whole text here. But why did I come to this text? Brothers and sisters, notice the emphasis is God's mercy and goodness. That's the emphasis. But the Almighty God does not want men and women to have a one-sided view of Him. God wants men and women to have a balanced view of Him then and now. And this is when we come back to Romans chapter 11, verse 20 and 22. When the Apostle Paul appealed to the Gentile, the church at Rome, while it had Jews in it, it was largely a Gentile congregation. Paul appealed to them not to take the grace and the mercy of God for granted. So he said, behold, that is, you must also look at not only God's goodness, but God's severity. Brother Mitchell, the word severity, what does it mean? Well, you and I use the word severe. Huh? And we usually use that word in a negative sense. The person is severely ill. We are experiencing severe drought, terrible, bad drought. So the word severity, another word that can grave or gravity, another word that can be used there is harshness, strictness, another word, harsh treatment. So when in the book of Romans chapter 11 verse 22, the inspired Apostle Paul appealed to the Christian to consider not only God's goodness, but to consider the harshness of God, the toughness of God, the severity of God. He's also speaking to us to remember that while God is gracious and merciful, there is another side to God. And may I, it's important that we remember this. Many times I remind you as a Christian that because you are expected to teach others, this is a passage to remember when you are sharing God's word with other people who will tell you how good and how loving and how merciful God is. Yes, He's good, He's gracious, He's loving. But God can be rough. And He doesn't want us to experience His severeness and His roughness. That's right. The passage of Romans chapter 2 Let us hear verse 4 through 10. Both passage confronts us with the two sides of God. We are speaking to you from Romans chapter 11. But chapter 2, almost the beginning of the book, confronts us with the two sides of God. Let us hear from verse 4 through verse 10.
Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness?
Here again, it's that. May I? Brothers and sisters, importantly, is you notice it started out by encouraging us not to despise, not to treat lightly God's goodness. Are we all here? Please don't treat God's goodness with scant regard. Appreciate it. So the inspired writer, the Apostle Paul, do you despise
thou the riches of his goodness?
The riches of his goodness, read on.
And forbearance and long suffering.
Wait. Forbearance, Brother Mitchell, what does that mean? That God bears with our failures and iniquity a long time. But watch here. He's not going to wait indefinitely. Are we all there? Are we all there? God will not put up with sin indefinitely. Read on, brother.
Not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance.
You get it? Don't just go enjoying God's goodness and believe that there is no limit to it. Not only that, God's goodness and mercy and graciousness has an objective, a goal. What is the goal? To lead you to repentance.
That's right.
To lead you to serve God faithfully. That's the purpose of it. God doesn't show goodness for you to just galang so and get let go in ungodliness. No. Read on, brother.
But after thy hardness.
After you harden your heart. That is after God has shown you patience and mercy and goodness over time. What happened?
And impenitent heart treasures up.
Wait. What does it mean by impenitent heart, Brother Mitchell? A heart that is not penitent. What does the word penitent mean, Brother Mitchell? When you are penitent, it means you are repentant.
Right.
You are sorry for the offense you have done against your fellow men and in God's sight.
That's right.
You are penitent. But if you just go on like that, if you just galanso, not realizing that when God show you mercy, he expect you to be responsive to his mercy and to repent and turn to him. So the passage, the brother, is that it says, but after your impenitent heart,
treasure us up unto thyself wrath.
Wait. You think you do savings only at the bank or in your mattress? No. When the Bible says, treasure us up, it really means save up. And we are saving up something other than money here. Treasure us up, or save up what?
Thyself wrath.
Wrath.
Against the day of wrath.
Against the day of wrath.
And revelation.
And revelation of the righteous.
Judgment of God.
You know, I keep telling you that out of God's holiness come God's justice.
That's right.
From that justice come God's judgment. The Bible says when we fail to respond to God's goodness and mercy and graciousness, there is something coming other than that. There is another side to God.
That's right.
Don't let Satan deceive you by convincing you that all there is to God is goodness and mercy and graciousness. That you can live any old type of life you live and enjoy sin and the pleasure of sin and that there is no consequence. No, the passage the brother has before us here, Romans chapter 2 from verse 8 to verse 10, I said. What verse are you?
I'm at 6.
Verse 6. That when we treat God's grace with no regard, sooner or later, we are going to taste the wrath. The word wrath means the outpouring. The outpouring of vexation. That's what that word means. Wrath. Wrath. The outpouring of vexation. Well, me not give God any reason to be mad with me. My God, you give God a lot of reason. God sent Jesus Christ to pay for our sin at Calvary. And God has brought you, you live for 12 years, 15 years, 20 years, 30 years, 40 years, 60. It never dawned on you that you need to turn your life over to Christ. Let him guide you. It never dawned on you to come to Christ to benefit from the price he paid at Calvary. My God, God no must get vexed with you. Huh? That's what he's going to outpour is vexation. What is the point, Brother Mitchell? We must make sure we have a rounded view of the Almighty God. As I've said, the Bible tells us in the book of Romans that the Israelites were cut off. It's not that God cut off the Israelites, but they did not accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. That's what the Bible takes refer to their unbelief. Unbelief doesn't mean you don't believe there is a God. It simply means, in fact, before the corona thing, I think the Sunday before, I started a lesson. It would have been meant to be a three-part lesson, to show that unbelief doesn't always mean you don't believe that there is a God. It means that you reject God's word. They did not want to believe in Jesus Christ. Men and women must ever be mindful of the character of the Almighty God. The Almighty God is love. The Almighty God is grace. The Almighty God is mercy. But God is also holiness. That brings in a just God. That justice of God brings in a God who will pour out judgment upon us. We must be mindful of that. Look at Romans chapter 10, verse 16. Romans 10, 16.
But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah said, Lord, who had believed our report? So then, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God.
they have not all obeyed. You see, that is very important. Jesus Christ is the author of eternal salvation. To whom? To them that obey him. There are some conditions that sinner must meet in order to get their sins addressed. That condition or those conditions does not include praying for the forgiveness of your sin. You may pray for one whole year, 10 years for God to forgive you. That is not a part of what you are to do to be forgiven. God's condition for forgiveness is that you are taught the basic fundamental truth about who Jesus Christ is, what your sinful life implies, and that only Jesus Christ can deal with your sin. Only Christ, by his blood. When you accept that, you come to Christ.
Right.
Why you come to him? For him to tell you what to do to be forgiven. And he tells you to believe in him as God's son, as your Lord, your Savior. He tells you, watch here now, that if you believe, you must repent. That means give up your sinful, ungodly, worldly way of life and turn to Christ. The Bible said at the time of this ignorance, God winked, but now commanded all men everywhere to repent. Right. Because the Almighty God had set a day, one side, upon which he will judge the world. You see, because judgment is coming, you need to repent and turn to Jesus Christ. Mr. Mitchell, am I a Christian when I repent? No. That is just one of the steps. You must be willing to confess Christ's name. What do you mean? You must be willing to confess that you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Am I a Christian when I confess? No, there are some other things you must do. You must be baptized for the removal of your sin. Mr. Mitchell, what the water have to do with my salvation? It has God to do with your salvation. Because it's God who include the water in your salvation. And you know what? You know what did this? If God include the water in your salvation, no angel can remove it. No pope or bishop can remove it. No preacher can remove it. If God put it as a part of your salvation, in fact, the Almighty God in his word has went as far as telling us that even now baptism doeth save us. That's right. Baptism save us. So we are encouraging you as we wrap up. That you must meet Jesus' condition for the removal of your sin. Let me hear verse 19 through 22. Quick, brother. Romans 11.
Thou wilt say then, the branches were broken off, that might be grafted in. Well, because of unbelief, they were broken off. And thou standest by faith. Be not high-minded, but fear. For God spared not the natural branches.
Take time there. Okay, what verse is that?
It's verse 21.
Read on.
For if God spared not the natural branches, take heed, lest also he spare not thee. Behold, therefore, the goodness and severity of God. On them which fell severity, but toward thee goodness. If thou continue in his goodness, otherwise thou also shall be cut off.
Brother Norman, you're just run over a little word. It's a little word. In verse 22. Read it again.
Behold, therefore, the goodness and severity of God.
Yeah, wait. We're wrapping up. you'll notice he's giving the two sides of God, the rounded God. He's not just a God of goodness. He's a God. He's also a severe God. And here the inspired writer is the Holy Spirit presenting to the Christian at Rome the balanced, rounded God. Not just a one-sided view of God, because that serves nobody interest. Same verse, brother.
Behold, therefore, the goodness and severity of God. On them which fell severity, but towards thee goodness, if thou continue.
Goodness, but you notice the goodness of God, if you are going to reap it, it is conditional. You don't notice it. If you don't notice it, you'll make my sermon take longer.
Yes, yes.
You don't notice it. Take time, brother, read verse 22 again.
Behold, therefore, the goodness and severity of God.
Yes, the two sides of God. Read.
On them which felt severity, but towards the goodness, if thou continue.
You get the point? You will be a participant, a recipient of God's goodness, but it is dependent on you and me continuing in a life of obedience or belief.
That's right.
If
thou continue in his goodness.
That's right. That is, if you continue living for him.
That's right.
You will be a recipient of his goodness. But if you don't, you will get the other side of God, the severity of God.
That's right.
The wrath of God. You don't want that.
That's right.
There's much more to be said on this lesson, but you know what? I'm going to stop here. Consider. Take the word, behold. I could see a lot on that. The word behold means fix your gaze on. You notice how the word behold is used? It's used in reference to both the severity and the goodness of